Welcome to Textination. Joining us today is Neil Manigold, Director of Minecraft Education Edition at Microsoft. Thanks for joining us, Neil.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, give us a little bit of an overview of what you're doing here. You're bringing one of the oldest educational software titles into the world of Minecraft. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so we're really happy to be a part of Minecraft franchise. And my background is I taught 4th, 5th, 6th grades for a decade prior to working in education technology companies. So it's really exciting for me, both as an educator and a parent, to be working on this team. What we've been up to for the past, 2+ years now is building a version of Minecraft that is very similar to our other versions of the game, and we work alongside the rest of the Minecraft teams, and adding features to it that specifically help for teaching and learning in classrooms. So those could be things for educators, certain blocks and things like that to help monitor what students are doing. We've also built in a lot of assessment features so that students can take pictures of their work and export their work in 3D, and also write about their work, and then educators can actually use that as evidence of the learning that they've done. So it's been really powerful for me to see the learning across, all the curriculum areas and across all the grade levels over these past few years.
Why is Minecraft a good fit when it comes to education?
Yeah, I think, for me, it's such an open platform. I was always struggling as an educator to find different tools that my students could use to not necessarily show me the answer, but really show me what their thinking was and how they're attacking these problems. My area of expertise is in mathematics, and I worked with students often who could show me formulas, but really struggled when it came to, why is that formula the way it is? Everybody knows how to invert and multiply to divide fractions, but very few young people or adults, frankly, can explain why that formula works the way it does. And Minecraft struck me as this very open-ended, very limited in terms of the boundaries, and I can use it just as easily to build a medieval civilization for history class. I can use it for students to build a setting of something they're studying in literature. My students can model in mathematics. It can simulate things in science. We even have classes using it for building community and studying things like empathy and digital citizenship. So, what I've seen most often is honestly that I haven't been able to identify a pattern of use. And that's been really cool that whatever the teacher's area of expertise is, whatever their teaching and learning style is, it's been able to find a spot in its classroom to make it successful. And, obviously the students' engagement and creativity is off the charts when they use Minecraft, and just being able to see their fluency and expertise come to life in a school has been really powerful.
So now you're working with bringing the Oregon Trail into Minecraft. Tell us what the experience is like and why this is being done.
Yeah, so this started actually almost a year ago. We probably in our own age bracket as well, and the teachers on the team and a lot of us that grew up with the game, we kind of had this list in our head of, what would be in education, app smashing became this really big deal of, I'm not using this one tool to try as a panacea to solve all of my classroom issues. I'm going to pick and choose tools and apps when I need them. And so we talk a lot about game smashing and those types of things inside our office of, what other games have been used for learning, and you can't get more iconic than Oregon Trail over the past 30 or so years. And, who doesn't know the catchphrases and the dysentery and the t-shirts and the game and, there's a card game and the whole deal. And so we built out Oregon Trail end to end, and we've been working with Houghton Mifflin Harcourt ever since to not only build out that world, but also what was really important to us is at every stop along the way from Missouri all the way out to the Pacific Ocean, there's different topics that you can teach with something like Oregon Trail, whether it's economics and supply and demand. There's a part of the game about soda springs where talking about geysers and kind of natural carbonation that can occur in lakes, to really game mechanic pieces. What month can you leave Missouri in order to have the best chance of success along your journey? And so what came to life was this incredibly engaging world that we released, along with 15 lesson plans that you can launch from inside the world all the way along the journey, as well as I've already been in touch with some of the folks in our community. We call them Minecraft mentors, who are already looking at ways that they can remix the world and add onto it and create new lesson plans off of it. And, you know, for me, that's been really amazing as a teacher and as a parent, and something that gets to work on this, of seeing the excitement that's generated by Oregon Trail and Minecraft coming together. And then the folks who've already jumped in and seen, you know, I want to go beyond what you guys have done and even take this further. And I'm really excited to see what students and educators are going to do with this thing during the upcoming school year.
That's pretty exciting. This isn't the first time you've gone out and done a partnership. Tell me about that.
Yeah, no, it's not. We're always kind of looking for like-minded organizations that we can work with. And we've done, you know, two that we were really proud of last year. One was with the Council for Economic Education, because, you know, most of us wouldn't think, oh, I'm going to teach, you know, microeconomics of Minecraft. That's not high up on our list. But man, was that fun. It was lesson plans that I had used as a teacher, you know, 5-10 years ago that really haven't been touched in a long time. But because Minecraft has its own sense of economics and kind of its own currency, you can do a lot when it comes to bartering and supply and demand and cost and value. The other one that was super fun this spring was we partnered with the Roald Dahl Estate on a contest called Imaginormous. Of course, it's an insane word because it's Roald Dahl and they're all made up and incredible. And a young man from Salt Lake City, Cole, he wrote a story called Fluffletopolis, and that was the winning story. We had our friend's Minecraft build team called Shapescape built out his story into a full-fledged Minecraft world. And then we also partnered with Roald Dahl to build a series of lesson plans aligned with some of his more popular works, things like George's Marvelous Medicine and James and the Giant Peach and so on and so forth. And the other partnership we have upcoming in the next few weeks is with the Smithsonian Museum, and it's called Museum Day Live, where, you know, students and their families can go to the museum for free on Saturday, September 23rd, and that's across the country. We also have an event in the New York Microsoft Store on the 24th of September on Sunday. And so, you know, yet again, it's just been such a cool ride to not only be able to work on Minecraft, but all these other organizations that are really trying to find new and creative ways to reach young people and to be able to bring their expertise to the table time and again, you know, really at the end of the day creates better and I think richer lesson plans and learning materials for teachers to go use this with their students.
Now, this is only available, right, on the education side. Parents, to their dismay, can't go out and buy this.
Yeah, at this time, it's only available to education institutions. The way that it's licensed, though, is very flexible. So if I'm a student or a teacher, what we charge for is the actual license for the game. We don't charge for the software. And so it's really one of the things we know in schools is the need for flexibility. So if I'm a seventh grader at a school where I have access to Education Edition, I can also install it on my home computer. If I'm at grandma and grandpa's house for the weekend, I can install the game there and I can log in from wherever to work on my projects, you know, do my homework, you know, whatever, however it's being used in my classroom. We really wanted to make sure that we were flexible to, regardless of where you happen to be, as long as you can install the software on that computer, or if you have your same computer with you, you can log in from anywhere. And so we don't restrict people to it's locked to this one computer in the computer lab and you have to kind of, I remember teaching and having to fight for computer lab time and how frustrating that was. And so we're trying to make it as open as we can. And we also are always trying to look for other ways, whether it's, you know, nonprofits or homeschool families or things like that. You know, how can we reach additional communities and get them to access. The other thing I would say is that we're really proud that the only restricted area is really the game itself. Most of our lesson plans and content, some of the worlds are not, but most of it is available on education.minecraft.net. And you do not need, we don't lock down anything with logins or anything like that. You can create a profile if you want to collaborate with other people in the community. But if, you know, my own kids wanted to use any of the lesson plans here at home, you know, we can log in and find over 250 lesson plans right now across every subject area and every grade level. So we're really happy to keep developing that content and keep it free from anyone in the community.
So is that the best place for people to go to get more info?
Yeah, I think the two places for us are education.minecraft.net is our community site, which has resources, lessons, worlds, training materials, things like that. And then we're most active on Twitter, and our Twitter handle is @playcraftlearn. And we're on there all the time. Our announcement yesterday on Oregon Trail and these related topics went out there, and we do, in our community, actually runs a weekly Twitter chat using the #MinecraftEDU. It's usually Tuesday nights, but they try to move it around because we're quite a global community as well. And it's been really nice to log in there and filter and see, you know, day after day, classrooms really showing off the work that they're doing with their students and really new and innovative ways that I've never thought of on how you might use this game. And again, that's the coolest part, is the openness of it and people using it in ways we never could have anticipated.
That's terrific. Again, it's the education edition of Minecraft. Neil Manigault, thanks for taking the time with us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Now this, we've been telling you about the great products and great people at Sea Crane for years, and the lineup just keeps getting better. The CC Wi-Fi radio is a personal favorite that lets you tune in to radio stations from all around the world via the internet. More than 16,000 in all. When the weather turns nasty, the CC Lantern will light the way with LED bulbs and never run out of power. You can charge it up from any USB source or the 12-volt socket in your car, or you can simply grab the hand crank on top and wind. Need an even more powerful solution? The CC LED Spot XB runs on standard batteries and puts out nearly the equivalent of a 100-watt light bulb. You'll find those bright ideas and a lot more to like by clicking on the link to Sea Crane at textination.com. Put in the code TEXTINATION for a free flashlight with your order. Sea Crane, they've been making customers loyal for decades.